When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. How do you know you're not overpaying? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a technology company that securely connects with your insurance and reviews your claims for overbilling, wrong codes, and even fraud. To date, HealthLock has saved its members over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, before we start the show, if you're not a RedPilledAmerica.com subscriber, what are you waiting for? We need your support. We don't have the government funding us like NPR. All we have is you. Become an RPA FamBam member by going to RedPilledAmerica.com and clicking Join in the top menu.
Support a show devoted to the truth and that shares your values. RedPilledAmerica.com.
Previously on Red Pilled America.
Oh, also, I think I might be a conservative.
Her first video went viral.
Candace, welcome to the show.
Stefan Molyneux from Free Domain Radio here with Candace Owens.
Candace Owens, welcome to the Rubin Report.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here right now.
The conservatives were all courting the rising star.
Black people don't have the same level of connections as Jewish people.
It was like an ignorant compliment.
Kanye West is a genius.
I love the way Candace Owens thinks.
Kanye West, please take a meeting with me.
But let's not pretend that Kanye West is some sort of genius.
I want to make America great in my own way. And Candace has facts. She's researched.
Because Candace, you've just exploded onto the scene.
Kanye West in the Oval Office today.
A movement called Blexit.
I'm Patrick Carelci.
And I'm Adriana Cortez.
And this is Red Pilled America, a storytelling show.
This is not another talk show covering the day's news. We're all about telling stories.
Stories Hollywood doesn't want you to hear.
Stories the media mocks. Stories about everyday Americans that the globalists ignore.
You can think of Red Pilled America as audio documentaries, and we promise only one thing. The truth. Welcome to Red Pilled America. We're at part 3 of our series of episodes entitled Family Feud. If you haven't heard part 2, stop and go back and listen from the beginning. We're looking for the answer to the question, what can we do to stop the spread of anti-Semitism? By telling the story of the epic conflict between Candace Owens and The Daily Wire. So to pick up where we left off, by the end of 2018, Candace Owens had risen to a height of cultural relevance that few on the right had ever enjoyed. She'd struck up a friendship with a global superstar, the artist then known as Kanye West, and the two set out to convince black Americans that they'd been used by the Democrat Party for decades. Establishment conservatives like Ben Shapiro were openly skeptical of their effort, as the duo saturated not only right-wing media, but pop culture outlets as well. To formalize her mission, Candace launched Blexit, a movement to inspire the exit of African Americans from the Democrat Party. The 1-2 punch of Kanye and Candace was inarguably a monumental moment for the black community. one of the biggest black artists on the planet, teamed up with a rising black conservative woman to deliver a message that Democrats had been censoring for decades. It was an effort that would undoubtedly put them at risk of being ostracized from their community, but they did it anyway. The efforts were moving the needle in unprecedented ways, and that's why this Blexit movement had to be stopped, or at least regulated.
In late 2018, Candace Owens joined Charlie Kirk in the United Kingdom to launch Turning Point UK, the British arm of Kirk's conservative advocacy nonprofit. At one of their events, an attendee expressed a fear of being called a nationalist for taking a patriotic stance on issues. Candace's response would lead to one of her biggest red pills yet.
I agree. I actually don't have any problems at all with the word nationalism. I think that the definition gets poisoned by elitists that actually want globalism. Globalism is what I don't want. So when you think about whenever we say nationalism, the first thing people think about, in at least in America, is Hitler. You know, he was a national socialist. But if Hitler just wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine. The problem is that he had dreams outside of Germany. He wanted to globalize. He wanted everybody to be German, everybody to be speaking German, everybody to look a different way. That's not, to me, that's not nationalism. So I don't really have an issue with nationalism. I really don't. I think that it's okay. It's important to retain your country's identity and to make sure that what's happening here, which I think is incredibly worrisome in terms of the decrease in the birth rate that we're seeing in the UK, is what you kind of want to avoid. So I have no problems with nationalism. It's globalism that I try to avoid.
Some of her history may have been a bit off, but to any honest observer, the crux of her message was true. Hitler's Nazi party was officially called the National Socialist German Workers' Party. So, in Candace's reasoning, it was Hitler's association with nationalism that gave the term a bad rap. When she made the statement in late 2018, no one gasped in the crowd. In fact, there wasn't even one condemnation from the audience. The journalists that were in attendance didn't write hit pieces. Weeks went by with not a single person expressing outrage over her comments. Well, the simple reference to Hitler in any terms that didn't start and end with monster was enough to give her opposition the required tools for an attack. Enter Media Matters, a far-left nonprofit organization whose mission is to take down conservatives. In early February 2019, a writer from the organization took a snippet of Candace's statement from months earlier and used it to suggest the Blexit founder was an anti-Semite. It was an odd attack. The previous year, Candace joined Charlie Kirk in Israel to celebrate the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. If she were an anti-Semite, she wasn't a very good one. Well, not long after Media Matters published their piece, BuzzFeed stepped in to amplify the hit job. The far-left outlet mocked Candace, running with the headline,
"Turning Point has already lost one of its star recruits."
And that's when the chorus of Jewish organizations piled on. The Jewish advocacy group, the ADL, issued a statement as well.
"Hitler's murderous crimes against Jews and others were horrific regardless of whether they occurred across Europe or in Germany alone. Hitler wasn't a globalist, but a genocidal dictator."
The American Jewish Committee took a few jabs as well.
"No, Candace Owens, Hitler was actually really bad from the beginning."
The Jewish Journal went with the headline, "ADL calls out Candace Owens over Hitler comments." Forward, a Jewish nonprofit media outfit, claimed that Candace said that
"Hitler would have been fine if he stayed in Germany."
A grossly inaccurate interpretation of her comments. The choir of attacks was curious. Everyone would have expected the far-left Media Matters and BuzzFeed to purposefully misinterpret Candace's message, but the Jewish organizations doing it was puzzling given her association. She was speaking on behalf of Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA, which has long been considered staunchly pro-Israel. It appeared, like with Kanye's compliment a few years earlier, that these Jewish groups were attempting to put Candace on notice. The message being sent appeared to be strict adherence to a very specific narrative was required. Anything that colored outside the lines, even if by mistake, was not allowed. The reaction from Jewish organizations must have been a surprise to Candace, but they weren't done. One Jewish organization decided to punch below the belt. The Simon Wiesenthal Center, a Jewish Holocaust remembrance organization, chastised the Young Black Conservative, stating, quote,
Scope and depth of Candace Owens' lack of knowledge of basic history is appalling and frightening. Hitler's program to make Germany great was based on race and anti-Semitism.
It was pretty clear. They were suggesting Candace Owens was an anti-Semite. The striking thing about these attacks was the timing. The outrage didn't build over days, eventually forcing a statement from these organizations. Their condemnation of Candace all came within hours of the original post. It was almost as if it were all orchestrated. Well, the coercive pressure forced Candace to put out a video clarifying her statement.
Just to clarify this, because I had about 50 emails from journalists reaching out asking for clarity. I was at an event in the UK and a question was asked, not about Hitler. And I think the person asked, how can we as people that, you know, believe in the sovereignty of our nations avoid being called nationalists? And I thought the person was sort of implying that nationalism is a dirty word. And we see that a lot in America, that nationalism is sort of conflated with, for some reason, Hitler. Like that the only interpretation or the only understanding of the word nationalism that people seem to have in America is they instantly think of Hitler. And I think that that's really, really wrong and that we have to almost correct the record on that.
As Candace went on, she explained that in a time when globalism was spreading, strong leaders needed to stand up for American sovereignty. She expressed disgust with the source that amplified the hit job.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's BuzzFeed. I shouldn't even be doing this video. It's so stupid.
Before she was done, it became obvious that Candace wanted to make it crystal clear that she did not support Germany's World War II leader in any way.
There's no excuse or defense ever for everything that he did. I mean, obviously, we've learned the lesson of what happened in Europe with National Socialism, and it's something that will never come to America, like Trump said.
But with all the attacks, in the end, Candace stood by her original statement.
I stand by my statements, and that is that.
Publicly, Candace was projecting righteous indignation. Who wouldn't feel an injustice for wrongly being accused of anti-Semitism? But it wasn't hard to see that something was going on behind her defiant facade. During her defense, she was at times uncharacteristically frantic.
No, I'm saying Hitler wasn't a nationalist, and if Hitler, the only thing that...
She'd later confess that fear had swept over her.
The firestorm that I endured, I will tell you something personal. I was so stressed out by that event that I stressed myself into an autoimmune response. Like my body was breaking down because I didn't understand what was happening. I'd never in my entire life been accused of anti-Semitism, and suddenly I was fighting for my career.
For a simple, generally true statement, her career was hanging in the balance.
I was temporarily blacklisted from Fox News for having said this sentence, which suddenly again was pulled out of obscurity. And I quite literally was facing a threat that everything was going to be over because how dare I say that? I have absolutely no right to say that.
In the midst of the firestorm, Candace says that a friend strongly suggested that she visit the leaders of one of the Jewish outfits that condemned her. And when she did, she got the red pill of her life.
The spring is here, and it's time to treat yourself to the Licorice Guy. You guys should know by now that I love licorice, and it doesn't get any better than the gourmet licorice made by the Licorice Guy. They have a great selection of flavors to choose from, like red, blue raspberry, black, green apple, just to name a few. The freshness of the licorice is unlike anything you've ever tasted in licorice before. Seriously, if you haven't tried licorice from the Licorice Guy, then you ain't living life right. It's time to dump that store-bought licorice that's hard enough to break your teeth and get yourself the soft, fresh stuff from the Licorice Guy. What I also love about the Licorice Guy is that it's an American family-owned business. It's made right here in the beautiful U.S. of A. We are big proponents of buying American and supporting American workers. Right now, Red Pilled America listeners get 15% off when you enter RPA15 at checkout. Visit licoriceguy.com and enter RPA15 at checkout. That's licoriceguy.com. They ship daily. Treat yourself and those you love and taste the difference.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So in February 2019, far-left media and Jewish groups were suggesting Candace Owens was an anti-Semite for a statement she'd made months earlier. The attacks appeared coordinated. In the middle of the firestorm, Candace says that a friend strongly suggested that she visit the leaders of one of the Jewish outfits that condemned her, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, a Holocaust remembrance organization. Candace says she took the suggestion and met with an old man from the center.
And there was this very strange meeting that occurred. I had to sit in a meeting and explain that I didn't think Hitler was a great person.
When she was done with her explanation, the two men spoke amongst themselves.
Now, I want to be clear that I didn't understand the meeting because the individuals were speaking in Hebrew. My understanding going into it was that once I spoke to this individual, things would be clarified and then I could just go on living and my reputation would pretty much be restored. And by golly, that's kind of what happened. And my reputation was restored, or at least I was allowed to go on pursuing what I wanted to pursue, which was just talking about Black Americans and the fracturing of the Black and white relationship.
The meeting with these Jewish elders somehow reduced the heat on her controversy. But in the months and years that followed, Candace says she felt as if she was, in effect, under the thumb of an invisible hand in conservative media.
The threat that Candace, this could be over at any moment for you, don't you get out of line again by, you know, saying something that you never actually said, but don't make us have to threaten you again. That I still always felt over me because it was just a very scary thing to go through.
Being publicly accused of being hateful, especially when accused of being racist, homophobic, or anti-Semitic, is an experience few have endured. There's a feeling of vulnerability. When it happens, most look to somehow shield themselves from similar attacks in the future. It appears Candace took this well-traveled path. Enter conservative establishment godfather Dennis Prager.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and I was raised in an Orthodox Jewish family. So I have a very strong grounding in religion, and specifically, of course, in the Torah.
In 2009, political commentator Dennis Prager launched Prager U, a story he told right here on Red Pilled America back in December 2019.
Where did the idea for Prager U come from?
Came entirely from my dear friend and the producer of my radio show, Alan Estrin, in the Indian Ocean. I was on one of my listener cruises. I've been taking listeners for 25 years on cruises around the world. This one was on the Indian Ocean, and he just said to me, I think we should start Prager University.
Prager U's early funding came from the fracking billionaires Dan and Ferris Wilkes. Known as the Wilkes brothers, besides backing Prager U, they were heavy donors to Ted Cruz in his 2016 presidential bid. They also gave the seed money for an upstart streaming service called The Daily Wire, but more about that later. Shortly after her cleansing procedure at the Simon Wiesenthal Center, Candace aligned with PragerU. On February 28, 2019, it was announced that Candace Owens was starting a podcast with the nonprofit organization. Her first guest was Roseanne Barr, the comedian famous for her late 80s sitcom Roseanne.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Candace Owens Show, where you get my unfiltered opinions. And this one is definitely unfiltered.
In her debut episode, Candace gave Roseanne Barr a platform to explain the scandal behind her ouster from a reboot of The Roseanne Show. Almost a year earlier, in May 2018, Roseanne was fired from the show after suggesting President Obama's former senior advisor, Valerie Jarrett, looked like a character in Planet of the Apes. Jarrett is black.
I've lost everything. And I said to God, I am willing to accept whatever consequences this brings because I know I've done wrong.
A month after her canceling, Roseanne initiated her apology tour by appearing on a podcast with one of her close friends, a man named Rabbi Shmuley Boteach.
You understand why this caused a lot of pain?
Yes, I do. You know, it just makes me sick that I did it and that it was taken that way.
Throughout the years, people have turned to Rabbi Shmuley to cleanse themselves of racist accusations. Singer Michael Jackson famously sought his counsel when the icon was accused of anti-Semitism. By providing Roseanne a platform in March 2019, Candace was playing a similar role, giving a cleanse to the Jewish comedian for her past racial transgressions.
At the time of that tweet, I was in the middle of a conversation about the Iranian people for 3 months on Twitter. Most of the reason I ever went on Twitter was to defend, you know, Jewish people and, you know, our way of life and our thinking, and also a new way of being in the Middle East.
Roseanne went on a long, meandering explanation for why she compared Jarrett to the Planet of the Apes, and ultimately apologized for the statement.
What was horrifying about it to me was the way that it was purposely mischaracterized, and I was not allowed to explain it. I was never allowed to say what it was actually about and what I meant.
Candace did her part to explain Roseanne's dilemma.
Well, of course not. You're conservative. That's not how it works. Conservatives don't get second chances. Conservatives don't get to apologize. Conservatives don't get to explain in a fuller form what they were talking about. You should know that. Those are the rules. And nobody knew that Valerie Jarrett was even 10% black. Nobody knew that. Nobody thought she was black. They just dug for something and said, ha, we've got her.
What was perhaps most noteworthy was that Candace debuted her first talk show on a Jewish-run network with a defense of a Jewish comedian. Given her experience just weeks earlier over her nationalism comments, it appeared to be a symbolic offering to the Jewish community. In the months that followed, Candace went through some major developments.
Okay, guys, we are rolling into another episode of The Candace Owens Show, and this one is a wedding special. No, I'm not talking about William and Kate or Harry and Meghan. I'm talking about me. I am getting married this weekend.
In August 2019, Candace married a man named George Farmer. George was an Oxford-educated Brit who got his start running a hedge fund with his father. He traded in base metals. George would eventually get involved in politics, and at its launch, he was appointed chairman of Turning Point UK. So when Candace participated in the launch in late 2018, during her infamous nationalism comments, her and George crossed paths. It was apparently love at first sight, because a little over 2 weeks after they met, George Farmer proposed. The two would marry at the Trump Winery near Charlottesville, Virginia, owned by Donald Trump's son, Eric Trump. Kanye did not attend. By the time of her wedding, the artist had distanced himself from Candace. it was rumored that Kanye's in-laws, the Kardashians, were behind the distancing. Nevertheless, Candace was already a firm fixture within the conservative movement. In the months that followed her August 2019 wedding, she spoke on Capitol Hill.
You know that white supremacy and white nationalism is nowhere near, ranks nowhere near the top of the issues that are facing Black America. And the reason that you are bringing them up in this room is because it is an attempt to make the election all about race as the Democrats.
Not in my case, Ms. Owens. I'm sorry. Please do not characterize my motive.
Mr. Chairman, it's my time.
At CPAC 2020, the Conservative Political Action Conference, she spoke out against the victimhood narrative that was plaguing the Black community.
You see, the sin of slavery was not brought to this continent by white Europeans, as the left would have us imagine. Slavery existed everywhere in the world, including here since the dawn of humanity. Different Native American tribes weren't sitting around kumbayaing over a fireplace. They were trying to imperialize one another. They would enslave their war captives into labor. They would sometimes sell their own children. They tortured others as a part of their religious rites. And depending on which tribe you were in, cannibalism was even the commonplace.
Conservative establishment loved what she was doing. Aside from shielding them from accusations of racism, she was also the perfect weapon to deliver a tough love message to the Black community. Her life appeared to be calming down a bit, but she couldn't have known that in just a few months, a chance arrest in Minneapolis would again put her in hot water with her own community. Mother's Day is around the corner. What are you going to do for your mom? Are you going to get her flowers? It's a nice gesture, but so short-lived. Jewelry? Not in this economy. Why not give mom the gift that keeps on giving? A Red Pilled America backstage subscription. She'll get ad-free access to our entire archive of episodes. That's over 185 shows. And our behind-the-scenes video podcast. Go to redpilledamerica.com and click shop in the top menu. For a limited time, we're offering 25% off an 8mg RPA full access yearly gift certificate. Give the moms in your life a gift that will entertain them, feed their soul, and may even teach them a thing or two. Visit redpilledamerica.com and click shop in the top menu to receive 25% off our RPA full access membership. That's redpilledamerica.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
when I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So, by May 2020, in less than 3 years since her coming out video, Candace Owens had risen to the upper echelons of the political scene. The conservative establishment loved what she was doing. She'd become the perfect weapon to deliver a tough love message to the Black community and had grown accustomed to fielding the ire of her brothers and sisters. But a chance arrest in Minneapolis would raise the anger directed at her to an entirely new level.
Please! Please, I can't breathe! Please, man!
On May 25, 2020, a man named George Floyd Jr. died while being arrested by Minneapolis police.
Get in the car.
I can't move.
I've been waiting the whole time. Ah. Get up, get in the car.
Mama.
Get up and get
Mama.
In the car right.
I can't.
In Minneapolis tonight, tensions are high as four police officers have been fired after a man was pinned to the ground and died. The incident was caught on camera.
The city of Minneapolis immediately erupted in violence.
Overnight, Minneapolis on fire.
Black lives! Black lives!
So there's the fire. It does appear that that fire is the police station.
Chaos filled Minneapolis streets for a fourth night.
In the days that followed, the destruction quickly spread to big cities all across America.
I have nowhere to go now.
This country is on fire. We are facing an insurrection by people that we don't quite understand who they are, but by all indications, they are violent leftist thugs.
Like clockwork, politicians elbowed one another out of the way to virtue signal in support of George Floyd, including the future Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson.
The facts show that Mr. George Floyd appears to have been the victim of murder. And I personally don't believe that a close review of the video can lead anyone to any other conclusion.
But a few on the right had actually watched this movie before and began asking questions. Candace was one of them. About a week after riots erupted, Candace decided to take to Facebook and dump a red pill on the Black community.
I do not support George Floyd and the media depiction of him as a martyr. It was something that I wanted to say early on, but there were so many emotions and so much pressure for me to go with the popular opinion about who George Floyd was. And sometimes it can be difficult when there are just so many external pressures to say what you believe. And this was an instance where I felt like my silence would have been better in the beginning.
She initially felt that being silent as the riots erupted was the wise move. And people must remember the cultural landscape by June 3rd, 2020. The country was literally on fire, with violent riots breaking out in Minneapolis, New York City, Los Angeles, Oakland, Chicago, Georgia, practically every urban enclave in America. The social contract had been ripped to shreds. Blacks were furious. They saw with their own eyes the video of Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin placing his knee on the back of the neck of George Floyd, and it became the symbol of systemic racism in law enforcement. The entire mainstream media were raising George Floyd up as a martyr. Almost no one dared to claim otherwise. The social pressure for public figures to buy into that narrative was absolutely enormous. But in the height of this outrage, Candace began digging into George Floyd's past. She initially stayed back, waiting for more details to come in. But when they did, staying quiet was no longer an option.
I recently came across something that was an idea that was planted into my head by Shelby Steele, and it has been something that I cannot forget.
Shelby Steele is a Black conservative author.
Shelby Steele said that the Black community is unique from other communities. Our culture is unique from other communities because we are the only community that caters to the bottom denominator of our society. Now, let me explain what that means. It means to say that not every Black American is a criminal, not every Black American is committing crimes, but we are unique in that we are the only people that fight and scream and demand support and justice for the people in our community that are up to no good. You would be hard pressed to find, you know, a Jewish person who has spent 5 stints in prison, who commits a crime and dies while committing a crime, and that the Jewish people champion and demand justice for. You will be hard pressed to find this in white America. You'll be hard pressed to find this even in Latino America. If there is a person that is spent multiple times in prison, you are not going to see a bunch of Latinos coming out demanding justice for this person, even if, and I want to be very clear, what I'm saying is not any defense for Derek Chauvin.
She believed the Floyd family should seek justice in his case. But after looking at his history, Candace couldn't believe that he was being portrayed as a hero. She went on to explain her research into George Floyd, and what she found was not being widely reported by the media.
George Floyd is being uplifted as an amazing human being. First and foremost, George Floyd at the time of his arrest was high on fentanyl and he was high on methamphetamine. This came back in both of his autopsy reports. If you pursue the 911 transcript, you can see the person describing somebody who is out of their mind high, which is what made the person fearful because he tried to, you know, to use a bill that I guess was a fake bill to purchase something.
George Floyd had spent time in prison for theft with a firearm, 3 stints in prison for cocaine offenses, and he'd even robbed a mother and her child at gunpoint, pointing a gun at the mother's abdomen. A neighbor was astute enough to get the license plate of the getaway car, and George Floyd was eventually arrested. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison for that horrific crime. This was all news to most people, and Candace was delivering it at a highly volatile time. A time when the Black community was lifting George Floyd up as practically Jesus on the cross. And it was at this precise moment, when the Black community was out for blood for his death, that Candace delivered the tough love message that made her such a target within her own community.
Let me tell you, 6% of the population, right? Black men, 6% of the population account for 44% of all murders in this country, according to 2018 statistics. That is what you call a gap. And yet white people who represent 60% of the population, represent 50% of all the murders, right? That makes no sense in a community where we are extreme minorities. We commit 50% of all violent offenses, evenly split.
Her rant drew the attention of conservative media, including Glenn Beck.
Is this really the guy that Black America, I mean, they were very careful to pick Rosa Parks. Is this the symbol of Black America today?
I'm going to say yes, it is a symbol of Black America today, and it's a symbol of a broken culture in Black America today, and that people are not willing to talk about, again, how we contribute to our own demise.
Conservative media loved her message, but the Black community felt as if she were stabbing them in the back, including stand-up icon Dave Chappelle.
Why would anyone care what their favorite comedian thinks after they saw a police officer kneel on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds? I can't get that number out of my head because it was my time of birth on my birth certificate. I was born at 8:46 in the morning, and they killed this in 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I watch everything everybody says. I seen Candace Owens try to convince white America, don't worry about it, he's a criminal anyway. I don't give a f- what this did. I don't care what this did. I don't care if he personally kicked Candace Owens in her stinky. I don't know if it stinks, but I imagine it does.
By constantly bringing up uncomfortable truth to the Black community, Candace was sacrificing in a way that few in the conservative movement could match. The constant attacks by her own people appeared to earn the respect of the growing streaming network, The Daily Wire. And in September 2020, she appeared on The Ben Shapiro Show.
Candace Owens, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
The show opened with Ben breaking some personal news.
You told me this, I'm not giving anything away. You're pregnant?
Yes.
That is an amazing thing. That is a life-changing thing. Yes. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited. I mean, I'm really excited for that next chapter of my life. And I would say in terms of my political life, the stakes feel a bit higher in terms of where America's going to go.
But the show eventually got to an area of contention between the two conservative commentators, that being the cultural moment that Ben had initially marginalized.
So I need to ask you about the Kanye issue. So famously, we had a little bit of a tete-a-tete on Twitter.
Yeah.
When Kanye came out and he was supporting President Trump, and I said, live by the Kanye, die by the Kanye, which
yeah.
Mainly me saying, you know, Kanye takes a lot of positions on a lot of different issues. And you got a little bit upset about that, it seemed.
Yeah, you know, with Kanye, I think what I was upset with was that so many people were just dismissing him and calling him crazy. And it's just not fair. I mean, I think I like Kanye. Kanye's a friend. And Kanye is a person that is a billionaire. And I would not take someone, you know, to be like, he's richer than both you and I sitting here combined, right? I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe you're a billionaire. And people keep taking him lightly, and it's been his entire life.
Candace addressed the elephant in the room. Unlike other conservatives in media, her and Kanye had taken an enormous risk in delivering a tough love message to Black Americans. No mainstream gay, Muslim, white, Asian, Latino, or Jewish conservatives had criticized their own community in the way that Candace and Kanye had with the Black community.
Maybe I was emotional in my response because it is so hard. You try being a Black conservative, amidst Black Lives Matter, right, and go out and say, I support the president, and you will see how you get treated, right? It's easy. You get called racist. With us, it's ferocious. They want you gone. I mean, they will accuse you of anything. They want you gone. You get death threats. You get all of these horrible things. And here's a guy that's just saying, I'm no longer going to lie about who I support. Not if you don't support him, you're a racist. And I thought this is productive. It's a good thing for someone to say, I'm comfortable saying that I'm Black and I'm a conservative in the cultural realm, especially because we know most Black Americans have their eyes fixed culturally, that it just sent a huge signal that it's okay to break away from the hive mentality. So that was the nuance. He wasn't doing anything that I found to be harmful.
After a very public critique of Kanye, Ben Shapiro had come to Candace's way of thinking on the issue.
So I actually agree with that. I think that it's actually a very important thing that Kanye West put on a MAGA hat and basically said, you know what, it's fine, I'm allowed to wear a MAGA hat.
Yeah.
And as someone who's been called a Jewish Nazi for being a Republican,
right,
I certainly understand the perspective of being inside a minority group where it is considered verboten to be on a different side of the political aisle. So
right.
I'm very glad that happened.
The two appeared to have buried the hatchet. And it should be noted that on paper, Ben and Candace were similar in at least one way. Candace was a Black conservative in a community that was over 90% liberal. Ben was a Jewish conservative in a community that, by some estimates, vote almost 80% for Democrats. They'd become important weapons within conservative politics, but for different reasons. As Candace and Ben's discussion continued, it looked as if her appearance on The Ben Shapiro Show was a bit of a test run to see how these two egos would mesh. And apparently, Candace passed the test. On election night 2020, The Daily Wire co-founder Jeremy Boring broke some news.
And I think what you're doing is so important. And the only thing that would make it cooler is if you did it with us.
Me? A woman joining the Daily Wire team?
No, wait a minute.
Yeah, on second thought. No, you're right.
The man's club?
I said if any woman were going to be invited, it's you. Come be Daily Wire.
I think 100% I would love to join the Daily Wire. I think there is a lot of stuff we could do together. Should we make it official on election night, America? Am I joining the Daily Wire? Is it real? Ben Shapiro, to you first.
Absolutely. Let's do this.
And Andrew Klavan, the man that would later claim to have played a role in discovering Candace, co-signed the offer.
Andrew. Right.
I've been
Andrew.
Lobbying for this for many, many years, Candace. Please come over. Save us.
Oh, my gosh. Well, then, it is a done deal on election night.
Hey,
this might
right,
be bigger
right.
than the results that
That's
come
really
in.
Good.
Candace Owens is coming to Nashville, baby.
All right.
Candace Owens was set to join the burgeoning streaming service. It was a big move for everyone involved. But Candace appeared to have no idea what she was stepping into, because The Daily Wire had a very specific agenda that was quietly in operation, one that was at odds with everything that she represented. Before it was all over, Candace would find out that asking tough questions in search for the truth was not really in The Daily Wire's charter. The company that claimed to be against cancel culture actually had its eye on being the ones with the power to cancel.
Coming up on Red Pilled America.
Candace has expressed opinions that I disagree with, opinions that I maybe even very passionately disagree with in some cases, but that's well within her right as an opinion host at The Daily Wire.
Red Pilled America is an iHeartRadio original podcast. It's owned and produced by Patrick Carelci and me, Adriana Cortez, for Informed Ventures. Now you can get ad-free access to our entire catalog of episodes by becoming a Backstage subscriber. To subscribe, just visit redpilledamerica.com and click Join in the top menu. Thanks for listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.